Air. WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. The mayor of Miami says security will be tight ahead of tomorrow's appearance in federal court by former President Trump. Here's Miami Mayor Francis Suarez.
We obviously believe in the Constitution and believe that people should have the right to express themselves. But we also believe in law and order. And we know that and we hope that tomorrow will be peaceful.
So far, no specific or credible threat of violence. Demolition will begin soon on a section of I-95 in Philadelphia that collapsed over the weekend. Pennsylvania Transportation Secretary Mike Carroll.
We know it's important to get it replaced. We will do it as speedy as possible, but we don't have a final design yet. That's being worked on as we speak.
The collapse was caused by a tanker truck fire. A consumer group in Italy is calling for a pasta strike to force down skyrocketing food prices. The price of pasta has been rising at twice the rate of inflation. NASA says a potentially dangerous asteroid the size of a bridge is expected to pass by Earth today. This is ABC News. A day of celebration turned to tragedy in Australia. Police say at least 10 people were killed and 25 others injured in a devastating bus crash in New South Wales Sunday night. The chartered bus was carrying guests returning from a wedding. The driver is under arrest. After 10 months in the hands of the Russians, American basketball star Brittney Griner is back on the court.
Brittney Griner was freed from Russian captivity in exchange for arms dealer Victor Boot. On Saturday, as Griner and her teammates walked through DFW Airport,
Britt, was it a fair trade for the merchant of death?
She was confronted by social media personality Alex Stein.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Britt, do you hate America?
It never turned physical, but the WNBA plans to enhance security for its teams on the road. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Hundreds of German Protestants attended a church service in Bavaria that was generated almost entirely by artificial intelligence. Em Nguyen, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Kuska. One person died and another person was hurt after a crash Sunday evening in Barron County involving a UTV. The Barron County Sheriff's Department said that a 48-year-old woman from Comstock was found dead at the scene and a 53-year-old man, also from Comstock, had to be flown to a Minnesota hospital with serious injuries. The UTV hit a tree on a trail near Cumberland. The DNR and Sheriff's Department said that speed and alcohol were factors in the crash, according to a release. The state high school baseball championships got underway in Grand Chute this morning. The Division I quarterfinals are today. Tomorrow in Division IV, Ithaca will play Edgar at 9 a.m. McDonald faces Pecatonicov just after that. Division III gets their semifinals underway in the afternoon. Aquinas takes on Random Lake, followed by St. Croix Falls versus Kiel. And then Wednesday in Division II, Altoona plays in their semifinal at 9 a.m. Championship games are all on Thursday in Grand Chute. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
More than 7,000 truck accidents happen every year in Wisconsin. These accidents can be devastating, resulting in severe damage and trauma, often more severe than a regular car accident. Gingras Thompson & Wachs can help. They'll assist you not only with the driver of the semi, but also the trucking and insurance companies, making sure you receive the compensation you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
My dad says spending time together makes our family stronger. That's why we go to our Family Resource Center. It's got lots of activities for us to do together. Nana says she likes it because she gets to talk with other grown-ups. But I like it because we play and learn with other families and make new friends.
To learn more about services that support children, connect families, and strengthen communities, call Northwest Connection Family Resources at 800-733-KIDS.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. More than 130,000.
Visit their website at 30bales.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Patrick here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Good to be with you today. Dr. Joe is going to join us. Our COVID modeling expert, Dr. Joe Eastman, is going to join us here, hopefully, somewhere around 435 today. And we will chat with him. There we go. So 435 this afternoon. He tells me, just looking at the message from Dr. Joe, you bet I'm also free the rest of the week. Well, if I have you on now, I don't necessarily, unless I'm having you guest host. I guess I could do like the old Mike Douglas show. It's like, we got a special guest to just stop down by, that sort of thing. We could do that, but no, we're not going to. Patrick, how was your weekend?
Was pretty good. Yesterday, I went over to the new Asian mall that's about 2 minutes from the Palatial Broadcast Complex, but I'd never been in there. And I tried some Korean food. It was really good.
Oh, no. You cannot go wrong there. That's that's a pretty solid endeavor over there. I haven't had a bad thing over there, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's got enough places that you could try a new restaurant every day for nearly a week.
Well, and you want to know the truth? I think this is a sign that the metro area is growing because, well, first of all, I remember as a kid in Eden Prairie where it was an empty mall. It was Flying Cloud Airport and Flying Cloud Drive-In movie theater was out there at that point. And there was really not much else out here. There wasn't. I mean, and when I mean the Eden Prairie Mall was empty, that freaking Eden Prairie Mall was empty. There was no one in that mall. There's the old story, the Hollywood story, Mall Rats. They filmed Mall Rats there, and they didn't have to have security shut down sites or anything because there was just no one in there. Very different story now, but of course, things have changed now. Now we're getting to a point where you've got, something like this, which is, just a fantastic addition, I think, to a community like this. It shows me the metro area is growing, and I think you're really going to, I think that this is a good sign. Minneapolis, St. Paul kicks ass. That's what it is. That's the lesson we've learned here today, kids. That's the end of the show. Bye. Oh, no. I got to do the rest of the 2 hours. Fine. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. If you're thinking about what you can wash that Korean food down with. By the way, what did you have exactly? Can you remember?
With the bulgogi, there was some kimchi, and that was a little bit of an acquired taste. But the more I ate of it, the more I liked it. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of it, but there was some sort of glazed carrots and sweet potatoes that was really good too.
Well, you can. Bulgogi is just fantastic. Oh. Okay, maybe we just do this. Can we do it? And that is right across the highway from us here.
I think if you stood on the roof of one, you could see the other.
I think, why aren't we broadcasting over there, man? Just gorging myself. You don't think I'd do it? I'd do it in a heartbeat. To wash down that fantastic Korean food for you, how about some ice cream? The time of the year when the public is asked to vote on the special ice cream to be sold at the Dairy Goodness Bar at the Minnesota State Fair. Key Lime Crumble prevailed last year as the winner flavor of the fair contest. The three malt and sundae flavors presented to voters this year. Cheers for Cherries, the sweet, rich. Yeah, boy, who wrote the copy on this? The sweet, rich sundae or malt comes with cherries and a decadent drizzle of dark chocolate on the top. Delicious. No, don't get me wrong. I like German chocolate cake and stuff with little cherries in there. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things I don't translate. Here's where your real fight comes in. Okay, pound for pound, weigh in on this one, Patrick. Cookie time. The malt or sundae comes with chocolate cream filled cookie pieces with the option of adding a mint syrup for a wholesome, refreshing treat to beat the heat. Like I said, who wrote the copy? And then churro your way. Churro your way comes with churro pieces and a sprinkling of cinnamon sugar topped with your choice of chocolate or caramel syrup. A churro my way with caramel syrup sounds that's a pretty solid endeavor right there. What of yours, if you had your choice of those three, cherries, cookies, churro, which one would you do?
I am feeling the cookies.
The cookies, all
and
right.
Actually, surprisingly, it's not all that close either.
What, would you do the mint in there?
Let's see if I am. If I'm in the mood that day, I also want to see how they're actually doing that. Because mint chocolate chip is good, but it has to be kind of done a certain way, or it doesn't quite hit as well. So I'd also have to see how they're doing it too.
Three or number two or three on the list of best things I've ever had at the Minnesota State Fair is when the U of M Dairy Barn had mint ice cream and chocolate ice cream, and you could ask for a grasshopper malt, half chocolate, half mint. Holy God, was that delicious. They didn't, they've replaced it. They put something like orange cream in there. What are you doing, man? Come on, University of Minnesota. Where's all of our tax dollars going? Not, apparently not ice cream research. Orange cream. What did you sell, three of those?
Maybe the same person bought all three.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was the, yeah, I'm going to say, I can already see the planning meeting. I got an idea, guys. You know what I flavor I love? Grape salad. No, stop it. Anyway, but the chocolate is still pretty tasty over there. I don't know the churro, man. That's going to go. I think I'm feeling that one. The winning flavor will be served to fairgoers at the Goodness Dairy Bar in the Dairy Building. I know our farmers are excited for another year of Minnesotans choosing the desired ice cream flavor they'd have at the state fair with a great tradition, said Lisa Steros, Marketing Communications Manager for Midwest Dairy. Oh, I think I found my person who did the press release on the dairy stuff. Needless to say, we're excited about the use of Minnesota products through these flavor options. I'm just excited about the flavor options personally. But, you know, let's go with the hoorah, go Minnesota, go. Let's go with that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So I want to spend basically this hour touching on something that's really resonated on my social media pages. And that is something which is, it's the question of what we do, you know, what's really the blame to the decline in outstate Minnesota? There was a Ramstead article in the Star Tribune this weekend. Minnesota small towns are in decline. It's hard, but we must talk about it. I'm like, okay, great. Finally, someone wants to talk about this issue. Basically, it's now, and they talk about this. The slow growth is a statewide phenomenon, but people in small towns and rural areas have been contending with it for decades. In many, many Minnesota places, slow growth turned into outright decline in the last 20 years. This decade, 50 of the state's 87 counties are expected to lose population. The foundation created in 1941 by the founder of the Blandin Paper Company and the largest philanthropic organization in Minnesota outside of the Twin Cities with about $500 million in assets. The paper company was sold in the 1970s, and the foundation was independent from that time. Things feel different when we were kids, she says. This is Palmer, who is part of this organization. There's tension going around. What is going on? Sort of contrary to the culture, there's something that's going on. The foundation has a lot of data on challenges and opportunities in rural Minnesota. And she said, as she and other foundation leaders looked around the pandemic, they realized what the rural resilience needed was a core focus of their work. Working class people in rural spaces, how do they access health care in 20 years? We're super focused on that. One of the main tensions in Minnesota is that the growth trajectory of the metro area is upward while the rest of the state is in downward. They then go on to say that, well, but don't feel bad, rural Minnesota. Minnesota, Twin Cities is not as fast as other metro areas. The transition to clean energy centers almost entirely around what it means to people in the cities, but it's rural areas and land that need to capture the renewable energy. That's a valid point. Needless to say, this is an article. It's an article that kind of promises to talk about this issue, but doesn't really talk about this issue. It ends up becoming much more of a, gee, golly, gosh, we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we're focused on this ability. We have to talk about why rural America is declining. And there are really three different things that are going on here that are about 90% of the problem. I'm not saying that there aren't other issues. I'm also not saying that there aren't areas in this state, in rural parts of the state, which are not thriving. Hibbing is cute. If you haven't been up to Hibbing lately, it's cute. They've got a lot of things going on there. You can go up to Ely. You can go to Grand Marais. You can go to, I was in Glencoe. I thought Glencoe was kind of cute. There are things that are out there, but the reality is overall, there has been a dramatic decrease in what has been going on in with the population and the quality of life in rural in Minnesota and in rural America, for that matter. And once again, it's there are three things that people generally don't want to talk about, but these are the problem. And how you deal with it, I don't quite know, because the reality is we don't have the same mentality we used to have to deal with these issues. Now, before I get into that, I want to start off with something that is in the Hillman Township story that we've talked about over and over and over again about this metro area couple that moves out to Hillman Township, and then the Hillman Township Council basically declares war on them because they're those city people. And they do everything in their power to basically say leave. Yet I guarantee you those same exact people are sitting there saying, why don't we get people coming here? I don't know, because you're being jerks, man. Don't be like that. And I'll get back to that in a second. But I want to make sure I say something. I mean, this is something, as I posted about this on social media, I heard from tons of people that talked about how moving to rural Minnesota in the last 20, 30 years, some people saying the last 5 years, all saying the same thing. It's like it was very unwelcoming out there. It was very, you keep your mouth shut and don't expect to get many social invites. That sort of thing, you know, the kind of place where, you know, just you know, your neighbor would, you know, you'd move in and 2 years later, your neighbor's having a party. And, you know, even though you talk to your neighbor, you're not invited because you're not a local and you'll never be a local in their mind. It is something which is clearly a problem. But I want to make sure I point to something here that's the opposite side of that. I live in the metro area. I live in the suburbs. I live in Hopkins. I like living in Hopkins. My neighborhood itself it changed a lot over the last 20 years. When we first moved in, there was a lot of the original owners of the houses still in the neighborhood, but that's pretty much all turned over. I don't think there's an original owner left. They've all passed away. God bless them. But we have had a lot of neighbors in there. I've got one neighbor on the side. They actually moved in a few months before we moved in. And we have, you know, another neighbor that is, I think, the third or fourth person in that house since we moved there. I mean, it just happens. There are some people who are moving there from parts of the metro. There are some people who are moving there from outside of the metro area. And at no point have I ever heard anyone in the Twin Cities metro look and say, you come from the country. Well, your cowboy boots and hat are not welcome here. I've never seen that. I have never seen that. I have never seen that greet someone moving into my neighborhood. Now, I'm sure conservatives and rural people will say, there is this one time. Come on. How many people move here from not just rural Minnesota, but across the world that move to Minneapolis? You know, there, for the most part, I've never heard of rural bias. People are like, well, welcome. Enjoy. I'll tell you, let me know all the good restaurants in town. I know you're looking for a babysitter. I know these kids are babysitting in the neighborhood. You need someone to mow your lawn. I know this kid mows the lawn in the neighborhood. I could care less. I could care less. It's nice to have you as a neighborhood, but I could care less about what your background is. Just be a decent neighbor. That's all I'm looking for. And I don't know, as I heard this weekend from people over and over and over again saying instant cold shoulder, instant, you know, kind of stiff arm from the local population, that is something that there's a problem here. That's something that happens in outstate Minnesota when metro area people move out there, but it does not happen coming back the same way, which probably shouldn't happen. I mean, I'm going to give spoiler alert to one of them here, but that probably shouldn't be happening of one of the three issues that's causing this issue. I'll get to that here in a little bit. I also want to stop a narrative which I'm not even going to allow to get off the ground. And that is this idea that somehow the failures and the struggles of rural Minnesota are caused because the metro area taxes us to death and takes every dime away from us. Please. We've talked about this extensively on the show. The Twin Cities metro area pretty much subsidizes most other counties in the state. The rural counties can't pay their bills because they generally don't have enough people there. They want a modern quality of lifestyle with good roads, good electricity, broadband, good schools, but they don't have the population to basically pay for all that. Water treatment, stuff like that. So you need the Twin Cities to subsidize your community, which I don't have a problem with. You're the ones who keep standing out, keeping your nose out of our business, and that's fine. You don't want the money. Well, then send the money back. We'll use it. I guarantee it. But this idea, this notion that your downfall has been caused by the Twin Cities Metro is not even close to being factually accurate. And I can point to why. As a matter of fact, I will. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to get into these three separate issues, which are basically have caused rural Minnesota to struggle for the last 100 years, 100 years plus. And they don't have anything to do with Twin Cities metro area. It has far more to do with the inner machinations of what goes on in rural Minnesota and in rural America. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors. You'll find high-quality food and unique eating experiences with dishes from around the world. Just visit eatlocalminnesota.com for your next meal. Bruner's Supper Club invites you to Maggie's Lounge, an exciting new bar lounge. It's open Wednesdays through Sundays beginning at 4:30 for cocktails and light fare. And you don't need a ticket to enjoy the great atmosphere of Maggie's. So stop by Bruner's Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 for dinner, drinks, and live music from both big-name local and national artists. Cafe Latte combines a cafe dining experience with gourmet quality food. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
The Merrity family of companies serve seniors and people with a wide range of disabilities. We provide home health care, hospice services, and accessible rental housing. This is Merrity, and we'd like you to join us. We're hiring direct care professionals, CNAs, nurses, and other support services. Our mission is to provide quality, personalized services to meet the unique and evolving needs of the people that we serve. Join a Minnesota family-owned company that was founded on a history of care. Apply today at MaryTInc.com/careers.
Was it Jay posting up on the video stream feed here about new cowboy boots in New York City? Trust me. Let me trust you about something. Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago. You go in there confidently wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. You're in like Flint, okay? Let's just go and say, good luck, bon voyage, and enjoy your time, sailor. Have a good time. It's not nearly the criticism people think they are. I mean, that's like some bad 1970s, 80s trope. Stop it. It's not, you're going to do well. I mean, there's a naked cowboy running around New York, I believe. So good luck with that. All right, so why is rural Minnesota declining? And no, it's not because the big bad metro. No, if anything, the big bad metro is what's keeping you guys on life support out there. These three things are going to be hard to hear, but they're factually accurate. They are. And you guys have to address this. And in some cases, I don't know how the heck you address it. But you need to address this because this is the reason why I'd say 90% of the loss of population and community in rural Minnesota and America has happened. Now, I want to clarify one thing before I get into this. It's just it's ignorant for me to say farming because we have a large swath of the north and northeastern part of the state, which farming is not exactly the main rural thing. It was logging for a long time, and then it was mining. And so those are two different things from what's going on. But there are some similarities and crossovers on this, and I'll explain that in just a second. Now, first of all, let's talk about number one. Number one on your hit parade on why there's been a decline in rural America. Technology. Technology has done a number on you guys. And this is not something, when I say technology, I'm not just talking about in the last 30 or 40 years. Let's go back to the 1890s and in the 1900s when they started designing farm equipment that allowed for larger and larger farms. If you go over to the Mill City Museum, they got one of their tractors in there, that steam powered tractor that was able to do a heck of a lot more work than had been able to be done before. If you look at the history of farming in this country, and I got this years ago from a guy at Iowa State Extension down in Iowa. He said, you can look at the 1890s to the first decade of the 1900s. You can look at the 1920s, 1930s, 1950s, 1980s. The same thing happened, which was a major purging of rural America as far as amount of farming jobs available. In each of those times, what you had was the ability for all of a sudden, in some cases, the ability of one farmer to start doing the work of 10 farmers. And that was a really big, that's what really started wiping out those populations. Go back and look at the literature of the 1890s, 1900s, 1910s, 1920s, 1930s. How many of those books revolve around, and stories revolve around, you know, disaffected people stumbling into metro areas from rural America because their quality of life has disappeared. Not because someone came and took their job. Technology made them obsolete. And it was the big farmers that started buying up more of the land. And it was harder to compete. Glass Menagerie, the Great Gatsby, you can go into Grapes of Wrath. You can go into, you know, Tin Pan Alley. You can go, there's tons of them that all deal with this disaffected rural population having to move into the metro area because there just were no jobs out there. Farming was changing, and we've seen this happen over and over again. And we've gotten to the point now where one guy can basically manage a huge tractor, a farming operation. A huge one. Because they have the technology and the equipment to do it. And do it with shocking amount of ease. It doesn't mean it's not hard work. It doesn't mean it's not anything. But it's just, you know, you want to see number one on the hit parade of why rural America has been declining for 100 plus years. Look at the technology that's out there. Look at it. It's made most farmers obsolete, and we're not going back to the old times. I mean, my God, you'd have to have like an asteroid wipe out half the planet and something that happened with all technology for us to get back to the time where you're going to have farms that are going to be basically able to be serviced by one farmer on a small scale like that. That just is not going to happen. As a matter of fact, my guess is going to be in maybe 20 years, most farmers aren't even going to live out in rural America anymore. They're going to live in high-rise apartments and run their entire automated operation out of a laptop in their high-rise building in downtown, screaming about, I'm a farmer. You're a video game player at that point. It's farmland only in the real world. That's what it is. And sure, there are going to be some jobs out there, people that are going to have to make sure the technology is still working on there and stuff, but it's going to decimate jobs even further. there, you know, when you talk about the computer generation and how the computer generation changed American work, that was only, you know, that was, you know, 80 years after the innovations in farming technology just started wiping out the local family farm. Take a look at an old plat map and see how 40 people used to farm one stretch of land, and now it's one quarter of one farmer's property. One quarter. Not saying it's hard, not hard work, but I'm just saying there's your first problem. And how you deal with that, I don't have any idea. Now, once again, I want to fall back to one thing here. That's farming. We did have something that happened which can actually behave like a bellwether to rural America on how you basically change. And that was in northern Minnesota. Now, I don't want to get into the necessarily into the tragedy of losing all of our forests up there, which was truly in a tragedy. Also, we can talk about mining like that. But in northern Minnesota, when the European settlers got there, it was all lumber. They used to they lumbered everything out of the state. They took every tree. I mean, we basically built every western town. They shipped the logs out to the west and built Utah and Arizona and Colorado. That's courtesy of Minnesota wood that they put out there. But eventually, they cut all the trees down. My dad remembers as a kid up in northern Minnesota, they'd go out in the woods and they'd find these huge stumps that were still out there, rotting and decaying. But that's where all the logs came from. Well, eventually they got rid of all that, and what ended up happening was they moved to mining, and mining became the major thing. Now, once again, we're going back in time here, but the mines really took over and became the new industry of the Northland. My great-grandfather, he was the doctor that was contracted to work with the lumber companies. He had an actual train car that was a medical train car that they would take out to the lumber camps. And he would treat the lumberjacks, and he'd kind of go up and down the train line there. When they finished lumbering, he transferred over to the mines. And eventually, because the way the structure of society changed up there, eventually struck out on his own and became the doctor up in Virginia. They changed their entire directive. And it was no longer logs. It became mining and ore. Well, in both cases today, that's the lesson. And what you have to do is that if you don't have the jobs there, the farms there to support a growing population, well, then you need to change things up. And the thing that is the one staring at you in the face is the green technology. That's the one thing about that article I agreed with. There's where your promise and possibilities are. Putting solar panels and windmills on every freaking thing you can out there, because you're going to need people to maintain them and you're going to make money. And that's a good thing. And that's just what happens. You change. It doesn't mean the farming is not going to go on. Of course, the farming is going to go on, but it's going to be one out of 100 farmers at that point. The other 99 have either moved away or you need to give them something else. And you have to look at it, and this goes for the Iron Range as well. You have to look at what other options are on the table, and that's the no-brainer. Because I can tell you right now, for other reasons as well, it's the chances of you getting expanded corporations and stuff moving into these areas is not nearly as high in potential as it is green technology. And bless you, I want you to be successful. Listen to me. I want you to be successful. I want you to have jobs. I want you to have population growth. But sitting there and bitching and moaning about what used to be that's never coming back is not helping you. Technology. That's the first thing that's caused the deterioration of rural America. I'll get to number two, and that one, this one has got a punch to it that you've got to come to grips with. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Since when are houses disposable?
I know. About half of what's in landfills are building materials that could be reused or recycled.
For the sake of the environment, this has got to stop.
There is money available to help Hennepin County residents and their contractors do the right thing. Reuse and recycle the building materials. You could earn $400 per ton for materials saved on a partial deconstruction of your next remodeling project, and up to $9,000 for a full deconstruction in Hennepin County.
Fixtures and cabinets?
All the way down to stair treads and 2x4s.
Flooring?
We floor you all day long, sister. Materials are sold at Better Futures Reuse Warehouse at 2620 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis.
Don't demolish, deconstruct. Do the right thing, get money back. You nailed it, brother.
That's denailed it. Wouldn't want to poke an eye out.
Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChamblotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Sunshine today with a high of 79, then tonight partly cloudy with a low of 58. 30 Bales is your upbeat neighborhood restaurant celebrating everything Midwestern cuisine has to offer. 30 Bales is located on the corner of 11th Avenue and Main Street in Hopkins with plenty of free parking. Visit their website at 30bales.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So technology is part of the problem. Now, and so you're saying to yourself, okay, what? Well, Matt, that, is that really the case? I mean, yeah, sure, you lost a few farmers, but you had a lot of other businesses in these towns. Yeah, well, and there's going to be a natural amount of attrition of the farmer that happens there. There's going to be a lot of farmers that are not going to want to go, that are being run off their land and are not going to be too quick to go work someone else for someone else that's farming their land. And so a lot of those people left, moved to different ventures or whatever the case may be. But there is a point to that, that you know, if you used to go into small town America, I mean, depending on the town, usually about 2,000, 3,000 people, you had a few things in there. You had a grocery store, you had a hardware store, you had a pharmacy, you had maybe some clothing stores, you might have had maybe even a music store and a movie theater. You might have had a whole bunch of things. Now, I was out in Glencoe, and Glencoe was kind of nice. They had a few things there, but I also drove through a lot of towns where those towns, the entire economic base of those towns were the following four things. One, a gas station. Two, a diner, which in most of those towns was closed. Three, a grain elevator. And four, an implement dealer, which was basically once every two towns, depending on whether John Deere, International Harvester, Case, whatever the case may have been. But there weren't. That was it. And you're saying to yourself, like, okay, wait a second. Where is all the rest of these businesses that used to thrive in these towns? And you drive through these towns, and you will see a block of empty buildings. And this is not something that, I mean, sure, there are one or two towns where it bucks the trend, but no, the reality is almost every one of these towns has, where did all the businesses that used to, you know, supplement this town go? Problem number two, big box stores. I had a front row seat to watch a Walmart go into Iowa Falls, Iowa. And I watched as that one box store wiped out pretty much every community for 25 miles. They had just opened it, I think a year or so before I moved into Eldora, Iowa. And I was living there for about a year. And I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I talked about the pharmacy that was in this town. And they used to be big sponsors of the radio station I was at, and they'd sponsor all these things. And I watched them in 1 year basically disappear into nothingness. They ended up closing and rebranding themselves as an ice cream parlor because they could not keep their pharmacy business alive. And they told me what their story was, is it wasn't just the flyer that they would put out their weekly flyer, here's our specials, and immediately the Walmart 25 miles away, 20 miles away actually, I believe, from Eldora, the Walmart had every single product 20 cents cheaper than I had. And he says, I'm already bare bones cover. You know, I'm taking a loss on some of these products. They're already cheaper. And their name brand generic version of these products is even cheaper than that. He said, it used to be I'd put out my Sunday supplement and I would be able to get, you know, customers coming in. And he said, not anymore. I mean, most of them are buying from anywhere else. Which brings in the problem. You hear this story of, well, there's going to be the big box store that's going to move in here and it's going to be nice because we'll have that, but that's only going to supplement ourselves. I'm still going to shop our local businesses. And then that same guy, and this is actually a human being I knew down in Eldora, who said, well, I'm not going to shop there. I'm going to shop my local business. And 3 days later, I was at a football game, and the guy came up to me and goes, I was up at the Walmart. They had the cheese balls, 3 for $1. I couldn't believe it. I stocked up. You can't make it up. You can't make it up. There's a movie called What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and I think that's the movie where Johnny Depp is in it, and he plays a baker's assistant. And, you know, in the movie, there's something with a cake. He has to do a cake. And I think Leonardo DiCaprio ends up destroying the cake. So he has to get another cake. And he has this cake that he got from the baker. And so he has to go get a different cake. And the only place that's open is the big box store. And as he's coming out of the big box store, the baker who's driving by to see all the chaos there sees him coming on out with the cake. And he decides at that point, it's over. I'm going to shut down the business. That played out across large swaths of America. One big box store went out there. And going back to the pharmacy, one of the things that was crazy about the pharmacy was she said that they took every one of their prices and cut them down. She said the only way they could have done that is to walk through with cameras. And it's not like we would allow anyone to take pictures of the shelves. So they must have had people coming in and shopping and buying things, but keeping track, either filming or whatever. That's the only thing they could think of. They ended up closing down. 20 miles away. 20 miles away. They ended up closing down. They lost, you know, I think they had a hardware store. That was gone. I think they kept their grocery store, but barely, if I remember correctly. Because what happened was a few years later, I actually worked in Ames, Iowa. And one weekend, I decided to drive up and see some of the old towns I used to work in. And it was stark, to say the least. Go to some of these smaller towns. I mean, Eldora was like 3,000 people. To go to some of these other smaller towns and to go through there, and wasn't a single business left in those towns. Just the grain elevator, a diner, a gas station, and maybe an implement dealer. Maybe. All the rest of the businesses, gone. Everyone. Bing, 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 down the line. That is also what is wiping out rural America right now. And we don't want to talk about that because, you know, there's too many people that their shopping has become political. I go to Walmart because Walmart is conservative. Ah! Well, Walmart's also wiping out your businesses. And I'm only saying something that's happened afterwards. As a matter of fact, I had a very interesting discussion with someone who was trying to bring up Dollar General. And I said, I actually think Dollar General came into a lot of these stores after the initial big box wiped out those most of the stores and realized they if they as long as they didn't try to bother Walmart that they could do their own thing. And I think that I think they just mopped up the rest of it. No, it was the original big box expansion. And on top of that, you say to yourself, well, Iowa Falls might have it good. Yeah, Iowa Falls lost all their good businesses, and now everyone's getting paid minimum wage. Minimum wage, no benefits. Some of their workers were on food stamps. You yourselves kept going to the big box stores. You yourselves did not go to the local stores. You yourselves drove these a lot of your local businesses and your neighbors out of business. You yourselves did this. How you solve it, I don't know. Because it's the 1-2 punch. It's the technology drove a lot of the farmers out of the way, and then all the auxiliary businesses got ran out by one or two big box stores. And what do you have left? A gas station, a diner, an implement dealer, and a grain elevator. And those are your big employers. Now, sometimes you do have differences. Like I said, I brought up Hibbing. Hibbing, I think, to a point, has got other things going for it. They got the Bob Dylan birthplace, as well as also they got a very scenic mine that's up there that a lot of people go up to that they've kind of turned into a little bit of a tourist attraction up there. At Glencoe, there was some, you know, agribusiness center that was there that I have to imagine is also part of the reason why Glencoe was doing pretty well. Grand Marais become very touristy. Same thing with Ely. Ely's got the International Wolf Center and, of course, the National Park right there on their doorstep, so it's a benefit to them. But I'll go to Virginia, Minnesota, where they have a Walmart and a Target and a Menards up there. Go out to some of the small towns that used to exist out there. They don't exist anymore. Aurora, Hoyt Lakes, Gilbert. A lot of empty buildings in those towns. Heck, there's a lot of empty buildings in Virginia because most of the jobs now in that town are low-paying minimum wage jobs. That wasn't big metro area people, no. If anything, what you've learned, you can learn from Hibbing and you can learn from Grand Marais is, you know, metro area people are willing to come up there and spend extra money on a nicer restaurant or a touristy area. But, you know, it's you yourselves. It's the day-to-day buyer in these towns that basically decided, I'm going to go to the big box store. I'm going to the Dollar General. That's what wiped out a good chunk of your retail. And that's just a tough reality. The call is coming from inside your own house. 952-946-6205. Robert is in Columbia Heights. Let's take that phone call really quick. Welcome on in, Robert.
Hi, Matt. Just one more idea for you.
What's that?
Although in the last 30 years, all those kids that took the advice and went to college and got a college degree,
yeah,
usually about the only place they can apply that knowledge is in a large metro area.
Well, and Robert, I appreciate the phone call. That's actually what I want to get into next. I'm going to take this break a little early. I want to come back to number three. And I'll give you a little preview. It's because there's not everybody. I know a lot of people in rural Minnesota who are absolute freaking dreamboats, and I love them. They're great people. But there are a lot of freaking angry people out there. And why they're angry, I'm going to get to. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break, come on back. Issue number three, angry people. That's another big problem. It'll take a break, come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, Absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. Our station is located on a marsh, and we do our best not to disturb that environment. So I was thrilled to discover Natural-On. Their safer products and soil tests ensure that your lawn will be healthy, lush, and green. I don't even have to worry about bringing my furry friend to the station, thanks to the great care from Natural-On. I highly recommend Natural-On to keep your lawn beautiful, healthy, without compromising safety and sustainability. More at Natural-On.com.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, weekdays at 5 p.m. On our show, you'll hear about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. Weekly correspondents like Dr. Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake update us with the latest news from Turtle Island. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Listen weekdays at 5 p.m. or watch the show on Native Roots Radio social media accounts. Ho-wa!
The progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. So number three, why rural America has been faltering. And once again, it has nothing to do with the Twin Cities Metro. But you sure want to blame them for it. And this is why number three is a big problem. You're mean. Not all of you. Once again, not all of you. I have been in every corner of this state. I have been at events, I have been welcomed in. I have been given hugs, and it's nice to be here. Let me tell you about, I got a pie that's down here. That's great. Let's go out and have some drinks. Let's go do this. I've had really positive experiences. But I've also walked in parades in rural Minnesota where you hear a very different side of the town. It's a very angry side. They're very mean-spirited side that is out there. I mentioned earlier that no one, and I've never met anyone in the metro area that when someone moved there from a rural part of the state that they're, you get out of here, you country person. But yet I heard from many people who lived in the metro that moved out to rural America, and they indeed actually heard stuff of that ilk. You're not welcome here, get out, sort of thing. Same people, same exact people who tell you, why can't we get people to move here? Well, I don't like the looks of that one. Get him out of here. When technology wiped out jobs, people left and they didn't come back. When big box stores decimated the retail section of most of these towns, people left and they did not come back. But one of the biggest sore spots for every person in rural America is the high school kids. Because they still think that their economy is something from the 1880s where Billy Bob's just going to go to college. As soon as he comes back, he takes over his dad's back 40. That's what he's going to do. No, he's not. That's being run by a corporate farm. And maybe he gets an agricultural degree that works on a large-scale farming and then can come back and work, but only if there's a job there in that community. You go to rural America and there is an insane amount of people who are there who are either 18 and under or 50 and older. The high school kids leave and they just do not come back because, as the caller said, opportunity, the place for the businesses are the Twin Cities metro area, the suburbs. Occasionally there's one that's out there, but it's not a lot. That's built up this resentment. Let's go back to Hillman Township for a second. Does anybody doubt that if Hillman Township's council had one of their cousins who needed that last quarter mile that road maintained so that they can, I got this new opportunity, I'm going to move in this house there, and hey, cuz, can you help me out there? Of course Hillman Township would go out of their way to help out that guy's cousin because he's one of us. He's one of us. But look at when they have someone who wants to move out there and be part of their community. Look at what happens when that person needs help. We ain't going to help you city people. I heard from more freaking idiots that are, all you metro people want to do is come here, take over our land, and then tax us. What the hell are you talking about, man? Is that really, are you this much of a jackass to the tourists? You got people wanting to come into your town and spend money, and you can't push them away fast enough. I brought up the fact that most of these rural parts of this country, they talk about how teachers are evil, teachers are horrible, and then the same exact people come on out there like, why can't we get teachers to work at our school? Do we have to consolidate with another district? Yep. Maybe you should be nice. Doctors move into your towns, want to offer health care to the rural America, and you get there, it's like, you're evil, doctor, because you're not doing the Trump medicine. You didn't say all vaccines are bad, and you're not giving me ivermectin. Bye. It's insane. You guys can't push people out fast enough because you're angry and bitter at how things have gone. That's not on us. That's on you. And it's something that is not one or two people. It's a shocking amount of these communities who just do not welcome people. And even in your best case scenario, rural Minnesota, if I move there, you might tolerate me there, but you'll never accept me as that because your family was here for 85 years. I remember when Grandpa used to take me out in his tractor. You don't get that. Heck, you don't even think that there is any kind of ownership or anything like that out there. All you do is just basically sit there and tell them you're not one of us. And that's not, by the way, anything that happens in the freaking metro area. And maybe the reason why people are moving out of your town and into the metro area is there and you're not, that you're too damn judgmental. How about that? High on your horse. Desperate for investment, desperate for population, but too stupid to realize that your attitude and your arrogance is driving everyone out of your town. Someone's got to tell you this. I'll do it. And they're not all towns are like this. Hibbing, like I said, is a real anomaly up there. It's great. You know, I mean, I hear Pipestone is really nice. I haven't been out there in a while, but I'll have to get out there before too long. You have these small towns that are able to survive in there. And you know why? Because the people there are nice and they're welcoming. And it's not like you're going to be going to everyone's barn dance or anything like that. But at the same time, it's not like they're not inviting you some of the time. They're friendly. They're nice. They understand how you butter the bread. Instead of sitting there and bitter and angry because, you know, if we could just get one business here. And even when businesses do try to move there, you guys try to put in laws. Well, you can't hire any of those kind of people. You know what I'm talking about. The business is like, well, we've got to follow the laws of the country. So, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're just one of those liberals that's trying to take over our town. Get out. If you guys were smart about this, I would invest everything. Stop trying to revive an economic model that's just not going to come back. Stop it. Understand that every time you shop at the big box store versus your local retailer, that basically you're helping to put the nails in that coffin as well. And be nice. You want to help your town? I can point to 1,000 of you towns out there. I can point to them and tell you, you want to start making things better? Welcome in green technology. Say, hey, we got these fields that are not being plowed. We'll put solar panels in them. We'll get some tax incentives to put up some windmills. Get the people out there with high technology degrees to work on them, getting well paid in the community. Guess what? Then all of a sudden you get those auxiliary businesses coming back. Then all of a sudden you get more people that are moving out there. And all of a sudden your town is saved. It's your call. That's what the problem is. Those three things. Technology, big box stores, and you're kind of jerks. And if you change those things, guess what? You might come back. But until that time, stop looking at the metro area as the cause of your pain, because if not for Minneapolis-St. Paul subsidizing your cabooses, your counties would have been gone a long time ago. Hour two, that's coming up next.
Do you believe in ghosts? Ever wondered if aliens from other planets visit the Earth? Have you ever thought about whether Bigfoot is real? My name is Greg Bakken, and on my new show, Ghost Box Radio, we'll have these conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual, bringing together guests who are experts in these fields. Join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice baked...
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.